Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning, whether you're a regular or if you're a visitor, truly welcome as we have come to worship together, to hear God's word, to sing together, and hopefully to be encouraged for this walk of life. You may see in your bulletin that the pastor there for today is Ron Gerbrandt. That is, he was here last Sunday. I think most of you know that I'm not Ron Gerbrandt, so my name is Jay Weeb. I'm at home here, and it is a privilege to be at home with you here this morning. And today I want to look at a section of the Old Testament in Lamentations 3. And the theme for today is remembering God's faithfulness, or remembering God's mercy and love. And in Lamentations 3, 22 to 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I thought we would look at this passage because we have recently started a new year, but we're already a month and a half into it. And I was thinking that as a Christian, we sometimes ask, how do we deal with sorrow or loss in our life? How do we cope with suffering or loss as a believer? And I know that in this congregation, there are a number of people that are experiencing and have experienced loss in the last few months. But it goes even beyond that. In our life, when we experience loss, how do we handle the emotions that accompany? You know, it could be a great host of things, like a loss of a job or a business or a friendship or perhaps a relationship with a family member. What should we, or how do we respond? And how should it be different as a believer? How should our response be different from those who are not believers? And I believe that these verses in Lamentations teach us some very valuable truths about how to deal with loss and sorrow that we experience in life. So before we go on, I would invite you to let's open up in prayer, and then we'll have a couple of songs. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we see that you have granted to us again a new day. And as the writer of Lamentations writes that your mercy is new each morning, and we again see that is evident today. And Lord, we just pray that as we approach this day, that we would have the attitude of relying on you and placing our worries and our cares upon you, because you have used promise and you have told us that you care for us. Lord, as we have gathered to you this morning, we pray your spirit to be in our midst as we have assembled. And we pray also, Lord, that we could have come and that we would have come to be uplifted, and that you would uplift us by the way of your spirit and your word this morning. We also pray for those that have experienced loss and are experiencing sorrow. We pray, Lord, for your hand of comfort upon them in a very special manner this morning. And that, Lord, as we all together have assembled to worship you, that even though our hearts may be heavy, we would still lift up our hearts to you in praise for the great and awesome God that you are. Lord, we pray that you would be in our midst, protect us, protect our hearts, protect us physically as we are within this building, and also for those who are taking part in this service elsewhere. May your spirit be there also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take the blue hymnal and turn to page 401, where He leads all fall. Number 401.
Amen.
So I'd like to start off by reading a section of Lamentations chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 through 36, and then we're only be looking at some select verses, but I just to put the context of the message this morning, I would like to start off by reading in Lamentations 3, starting right at verse 1 and reading through verse 36. I am the man that hath seen affliction. By the rod of his wrath he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush them under his feet, all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. When we read the book of Lamentations, it contains a whole series of laments. And the author is believed to be the prophet Jeremiah, speaks for the whole nation of Israel. Throughout the book, he details the many losses that the Israelites suffered in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem at the hand of the Babylonians. And he writes of the unspeakable horrors of starvation and cruelty that the people suffered in the siege leading up to the capture of the city. Then once the Babylonians took the city, they ruthlessly slaughtered many of the people, and they took the strongest and the best of the survivors, and they marched them off as slaves into exile. They ransacked the temple. They broke down the city walls. They left the streets and houses in ruins. Everything was stripped away, and the Israelites suffered immense loss. But what was the saddest part of it was that this was a judgment from God because of the Israelites' disobedience to God. They had rebelled against God, and they had ignored and defiled God's commands. So they were, in part at least, responsible for the losses that they had suffered. And the book of Lamentations was written in the aftermath of this incredible sorrow and loss. So what do you do, what do we do when we are faced with sorrow and loss in our lives? How do we keep from sinking down under it? And how do we keep the sorrow and troubles of the past from poisoning our present and the future? How do we find hope to carry on? And that's what we want to look at this morning. And we want to start off in verses 19 to 21 of Lamentations. In these verses, we find the author remembering the sorrows that Israel had recently experienced. And the more he dwells on these sorrows, the more sorrowful he becomes. And I don't want to take anything away from someone who is going through grief and sorrow, but how do we get past it? And I'm hoping that the message this morning is that it is okay to grieve. In fact, it is good and healthy to grieve. But we also need to look beyond that. Because remaining in sorrow and dwelling on our sorrow on a perpetual basis will only increase our sorrow to a greater degree. As 19 to 21 says, remembering, Jeremiah says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. As I've already said, it is okay, in fact, it is healthy to grieve. When we experience loss in life, it is good and it is right for you to express your sorrow over that loss. And we may not necessarily always hear that, even from fellow Christians. Some people are of the opinion or teach that as Christians, we should never be sad, that it is somehow sinful to be sad, and that a truly strong and mature, victorious Christian should never, ever be sad. And I think this sometimes causes believers to feel the pressure to put on a happy face and pretend that everything is okay even when it is not. And that's not right because it is not honest. When we read in Paul's letters in the New Testament, we will find numerous times where Paul does not mind sharing his struggles with others. And he tells it like it is. And some folks may even advocate that you should not express any emotion at all during a time of loss. It's kind of like just resign yourself to your fate. Don't get upset. Don't complain. Simply accept what comes your way without any emotional response at all. Well, let me tell you, as a Christian, we don't believe in fate, right? We believe in God, and that is completely different. You know, this idea of being putting on that happy face may all sound good and noble on the outside, but it really isn't biblical. God teaches us throughout Scripture that we may and we should express our sorrow during times of trouble. And as we read in Lamentations how Jeremiah expresses immense sorrow at a time of great loss, if you read Psalms, you will find one example after another of people pouring out their hurts and their frustrations and disappointment before God in prayer. Even as mentioned, Paul in Romans tells us to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep, in Romans 12:15. And if we're still not convinced, then we take an example from Jesus himself. If you look in John 11:35, which is the shortest verse in the Bible, it's only two words. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept and expressed his own personal sorrow at the death of his friend Lazarus. So it is good and right to express your sorrow. I believe if it wasn't, God wouldn't have given us tear ducts. so feel free to use them. Weep when you need to weep. Pray about it. Talk to a friend, whatever it takes. Express your sorrow and grief. Let it out. Expressing your sorrow is healthy. It helps us to heal. Dwelling on our sorrows does not help us to heal. It increases our sorrow. We can't just hide it and swallow it and bury it. It has to be let out. So touching again on verse 19. Dwelling on our sorrows. How does it increase our sorrow? If we allow it to just fester and dwell in our hearts, it is like a poison of bitterness that will come into our hearts. As in verse 19, it says, remembering mine affliction and thy misery, the wormwood and the gall. We could translate the word affliction to trouble or misery. Wormwood and gall that the author is speaking about here is bitter. So what was going on here in verse 19? The writer is remembering all of his troubles, all of his miseries. And the memories just keep crashing over him or flowing over him. And they are poisoning him like this bitter root of wormwood or gall. And if left unchecked, they poison our lives. They poison our relationships. They poison our relationship with God. Verse 20, my soul hath made them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Dwelling on sorrow will eventually lead us into depression and despair. As the author here is dwelling on his bitter memories, he says, my soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Some of us, and I will admit I'm here at times too, some of us are good at remembering the negatives in our life. In fact, it seems we remember them so much better than the good things in life. And when we remember them, when we constantly refresh those memories, they come back into our life and cause us to fall into a state of depression. As in verse 20, it says, my soul is humbled in me. It means literally to sink or to be weighed down. And I believe that would be an accurate description of depression, isn't it? Weighed down by our troubles. And eventually you just start to sink. And when you sink, you lose sight of hope and finally just despair. We could paraphrase verse 20 kind of like this. I remember my sorrows and sink into depression and despair. Again, grieving is good. It is healthy. But to dwell on our losses will lead us in a downward path. Dwelling on our sorrows cannot bring us hope. In verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So there is an antidote. The dwelling on the sorrow won't bring us hope, but we have something greater. We cannot get out of our sorrow by looking down. We cannot find hope in dwelling on our troubles. But hope is the opposite. It is the antidote for despair. And in order to find hope, we must arrive at a turning point. That's what we find here in verse 21. Up to this point, the author has talked of all this great grief and sorrow and troubles. But he comes to this turning point in verse 21. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I hope. Notice that the author doesn't deny his sufferings. He doesn't minimize them or try to rationalize them away. The losses that he has witnessed, that he has experienced, are real. They are not imagined. He remembers them all too well. But now he makes a choice. He chooses not to dwell on them. He recalls to mind something else. And it is because he chooses to remember that something else, that is why he has hope. If you want to have hope, then you must choose to remember this something else, which in verse 21 points towards God's faithfulness. Dwelling on our sorrows will increase our sorrow, but choosing to remember God's faithfulness will bring hope. And we want to use the rest of our time this morning looking at verses 22 to 27, where we find a beautiful description of God's faithfulness to us. And I know that the introduction of the first part of this has been, we could maybe even say, has been a kind of depressing message. But you know, there is a flip side. There is hope. There is a hope that we as Christians can have, that we can hold on to, that a non-Christian cannot. And we want to look at that wonderful hope of God's love, mercy, and faithfulness to us in the second part of our message. But before we do so, we want to take some time to go in prayer before God, each to his own, in private, in silence. And if you're able, physically on your knees, and bring before God whatever lies in your heart. And at this time, I would invite you to go in prayer with me. May the Lord hear our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that singing. And I know that song is relatively new for us, but it also fits in this morning's message. So moving on in verses 22 and on, where the writer speaks of remembering God's faithfulness, and it brings hope. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Now, the climax of this whole book of Lamentations actually comes at these verses. And in verse 23, which says, and they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. God is not only faithful, but his faithfulness is great. His faithfulness is perfect. It is infinite. It is overflowing. It is beyond human understanding. Think of it as the most loyal, faithful friend that you have or have ever had. And then it goes beyond, far beyond that. But when we choose to remember God's faithfulness instead of dwelling on our sorrows, that is when we will find hope instead of bitterness and despair. Because God has been faithful in the past. Because God has been faithful in the past, I can trust him with my present and I can trust him with my future as well. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful, I can have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And these verses, specifically 22 to 27, emphasize God's great faithfulness. God is faithful in his love for you. God is faithful in his goodness to you. So in 22, God is faithful in his great love for you. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And we could even translate this or paraphrase this God's mercies into God's love. God's faithful love. The psalmist writes in Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Also speaking of God's love and mercy toward us. Now, there's an interesting use of word there in 22. It says that because of God's mercy or love, we are not consumed. If we look at that word of consumed, what does that mean? To be consumed is to be absolutely finished, to be at our absolute end. When something is consumed, it is completely gone. Have you ever been there? Ever felt like you were at the absolute end of your rope, at the end of the road, at the end of just the end? Nothing left. But verse 22 says that because of God's great mercy and love, we are not consumed. We are not finished. We are not at the end. Why? Because his compassions fail not. Our God and his power and his might, his strength, and his absolute justice, and yet at the same time, his tender and compassionate love that he has for his children. Note also that compassions is used here in the plural. God's many wonderful and tender compassions and mercies. His compassions fail not. It teaches us a precious truth. You may feel you are at your end, but you are not finished. Because God is not finished. And because God is not finished, we cannot say, I'm done, I quit. Because God is never done and he never quits. And he is there for you and he will not fail. And therefore, we can have hope. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. God's compassions, as I said, never fail, but they are in a constant state of renewal. They are renewed every day. God's mercy and love, fresh and new every morning. God never serves us leftovers. His compassions never grow tired or stale. He has new, fresh, tender love for you each day. God's love is as certain as the sunrise. Each day when we wake up, as we did this morning, we take a look outside and we see the sun is up and it is shining. So are God's compassions new for you each day, a sign of God's faithfulness and grace. The changing of the days, the changing of the seasons, all testify to God's great faithfulness, mercy, and love. As it speaks about in that great hymn, summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Doesn't matter when, at all times, God's faithfulness is there. And every new day is a reminder to us of God's faithful love and compassion to us each new day. Verse 24 goes further. It says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, and therefore will I hope in him. What is your portion? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a change in your circumstance in life? Are you waiting for whatever is causing your sorrow to go away? Or are you waiting for on the Lord? Let me encourage you this morning, as the author of Lamentations says, the Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope. Make God your portion. Wait on him for his perfect timing. God is faithful. 25 to 27. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. In all three of these verses, we see the same word. It is the word good. And so these three verses share with us three different ways that God is faithful in his goodness to you, to us. And therefore, we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to trust in God's character. As in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good. Don't let anyone tell you differently. God is good through and through. Not only part of him, not only a portion. God is good. That is the character of God. And we need to learn to trust in that his character. Even when things don't go according to our plans, which I'm sure all of you know, it so often happens. But we need to learn to trust in God's goodness, regardless of the circumstances that we are in. Because God is good to those whose hope is in him, to those who seek him. We also need to learn to trust in God's timing. In verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The word salvation here, I believe, is not like the salvation we talk of being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ to be delivered from our lost state. But the word salvation here means deliverance, which really is also part of that. It refers to salvation or deliverance from anything such as sickness, be it our enemies, or from whatever is causing you sorrow and grief. And we as human beings, we will always want results now or yesterday. We want deliverance to come instantly when we're in sorrow or in trouble. But as Jeremiah writes, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. That is difficult. That is not how our human thinking or our human attitude generally works. We don't want to wait. And we may even say, Lord, why do I have to wait? Lord, why not now? That's where trust comes in again. To trust in God's character that he wants what is ultimately the best. Then there's another aspect which we find in 27, which the author refers to as good. It says, it is good for a man that to bear the yoke in his youth. What does that mean? So we need to trust God's character. We need to trust God's timing. But we also need to learn to trust God's discipline. To bear the yoke is to learn submission to God, even when the times are hard, and to realize and to know that God uses the difficult times in your life for good, to make you strong in your faith. And again, as human beings, we don't like discipline. We want it to be easy. We'd rather have it easy. But let's remember that discipline, that we should not think of it in terms, God's discipline, we should not think of in terms of punishment, but rather that God's discipline is his training process for you, for me. None of us is exempt. In fact, the book of Hebrews, it says that God's discipline is one of the proofs that you are a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you don't need to be disciplined. But God uses discipline to strengthen your character, and it teaches us trust. It teaches us to trust God through the hard times of life. You know, verse 27, it says, it's good for a man. And the word man here, I believe, implies a strong and mighty man or even a warrior. Or we could apply it to a woman who we could say it's being addressed to a woman who is powerful and strong-spirited. So how do we become a strong man or a strong woman of God? We need to bear the yoke of discipline of God. In the spiritual terms, we undergo discipline and training. And this also is a part of God's mercy and love. Let's not fight God during the hard times or accusing God of the hard times. God is faithful in his goodness to you. Let's learn to trust God's character. Let's learn to trust God's timing. And let's learn to trust in God's discipline. So just recapping what we've gone through this morning, what does it teach us? Firstly, that dwelling on our sorrows when we are going through hard times eventually will increase our sorrow. Let's remember that when we are going through sorrow, that it is okay to grieve and that we should grieve. It is healthy. But let's not continue to remain in that state. Let's remember God's faithfulness, because God's faithfulness will bring us hope. Let's choose to remember God's faithfulness, his great mercy and love that he has for you, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. God is faithful in his goodness to you. Let's trust his character, his timing, and his discipline with all our life. And then even in the midst of life's most difficult trials, you can and will find hope in God. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, again we come before you at the close of this service. And Lord, I pray that as we go from here, that you would impress it upon our hearts that we look to you in our time, not only in our times of trouble, but in all times in life. But especially if we're going through hard times, that we would look to you and realize that it is through your compassions and mercy that we can have hope, and knowing that you never fail, and that we can continue to trust because, Lord, you are the only one that we can trust. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this congregation and all those that hear this message, that they could truly have a hope that is new each morning, just like your grace and your mercy and your compassion are new each morning, that they could find fresh hope for each new day, knowing that you have been there in the past, you are there today, and that you will be there tomorrow. But Lord, again, we lift up to you those who are in despair or who are sinking in grief. Lord, that you may wrap your arm of comfort around them, that they would look to you for the comfort that only you can give, so that they also can again find hope and joy that comes from you. And Lord, as we go from here, would you also make us a blessing to those whom we encounter wherever you lead us, that others could see your Spirit flowing through us, and that others in turn could also be blessed. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, and your mercy, and above all, for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we go into prayer once more, and I should have mentioned it at the start of the service, we see on the bulletin, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This was not rehearsed or by design. This is by God's Spirit. Chris had no idea what I was going to be speaking about this morning when she put this bulletin together. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I've also asked the song leaders this morning, I said, if there was time, and I know it's maybe getting a little bit on, but I asked them to sing an extra song at the end that is really the theme of the message we had this morning. So I will ask them if they will be so good to do that for us this morning. But before we do that, I would again invite you to go on our knees if you are able, and to bring to God to whatever is on your heart. So would you kneel with me in a time of prayer? May the Lord be gracious unto us and hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the blue hymnal again, 159, the Great Physician. 159. Thank you.
once again, who's able. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, the Lord is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes we're thinking we're going through a wildfire or a burning bush, but great is thy faithfulness. He will help us through it. We just need to thank him each and every day for what he does for us and how much he loved us and died on the cross for our sins. He is so faithful. So thank you very much and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you for those announcements. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for coming. But as we were singing that last song, if you look at the last verse of that song, as we go through life, let's remember this. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. That would be my prayer for all of you. And again, thank you for your patience, and thank you for coming and being a part of this morning service. Let's close with a benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord.